Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to MBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Film Guy Network, brought to you by our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. It is Thursday night, which of course means it is our last show, and it is our best show. We've got an absolutely loaded one for you. We got our final hot seat check-in as we head into the 2026 college football season. We'll also give you our final bold predictions on tonight's show. Most milquetoast take has to do 100 push-ups after the show. How about that? Just made that up.
Okay, how do we decide that?
We'll let the chat decide.
Okay.
We'll let the chat decide. That's a soft, bold take. You got 100 push-ups. We'll let the chat decide.
All right.
I'm down to get better. You down to get better?
Sure.
I don't know. Just random thoughts.
All right.
Just random thoughts. Probably won't end up doing it. We got our, might talk about our highest paid players list tonight. And we also have our final thoughts heading into the week zero slate that we got coming up this weekend. Make sure you like it. Make sure you subscribe. And make sure you are telling a friend about this place. Already passed 105,000 subscribers. We're going to the moon next. Boys, I don't know about you guys, but my entire timeline, the last, I don't know, feels like week and a half, has been filled with TROs and lawsuit jargon that I'm just too damn dumb to understand anyways. Yeah, and I'm kind of sick and tired of it.
I really thought we were past that when, you know, the whole Brendan Sorsby thing went under the radar, and now it's back.
Nope. Now we're dragging Greg Sankey into court, apparently. We're dragging the SEC into court. We're not allowing the SEC to actually implement rules at all. We'll just get a local county court judge to say, hey, we don't like that. Make sure you just put a temporary restraining order on them. We're going to act on our own rules, which makes me wonder where is the line? Where is the line?
I think we've been searching for the line for the last two seasons.
And that concludes our talk about TROs tonight. I'm so over it. I'm so over all these discussions. I'm so over all this. I mean, we have football being played right now as we speak. We have Division I football being played right now as we speak. We have week zero starting up in less than 48 hours. Done with it. I'm done with coaches trying to add tight ends onto their roster because they realize they have a roster hole. Buddy, probably should have done it in January. Probably should have done it when the portal was open. Probably should have done it then. Sick and tired of all of it. That's the conclusion of that news. There also is some other news. Nick Saban is going to have a documentary released on him from ESPN. I will say this. I'm excited to understand why Julio Jones was crying.
Yes.
Hope it's a whole lot better than the Swamp Untold series. Hope it's a whole lot better than the Johnny Manziel Untold series. I hope it's a lot better than most of the documentaries we've had released in the last 5 or 6 years, and here's why. I don't know where the line of demarcation was, maybe when Bill Simmons left ESPN, but apparently now to get a documentary released, you just have to get everything passed through the actual subject that they're releasing the documentary on.
Yeah.
There's no truth telling to this. Mm-hmm. It's just fun stories that the boss man allows you to tell. Mm-hmm. That's about it nowadays. But I hope this is it'll be fun to watch no matter what, but I don't know how much I'm going to learn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hope it at least gives us a behind-the-scenes look. Like, you get exclusive practice. Like, sort of like The Last Dance did. Like, I don't feel like we learned a ton about Michael Jordan throughout that, but I feel like we got to see things that no one had ever seen before and appreciate the greatness, which is what I think that we'll get with Nick Saban, or at least I hope.
See, chat saying the Vince Young doc was peak. I thought it was good. That was really good.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't watched that one.
I think it made Jeff Fisher look like the Antichrist, to be honest with you, with regards to young quarterbacks. I mean, that guy is a prick if you watch that. Oh. I mean, that's the worst human on the planet if you watch that documentary.
Yikes.
But I would imagine it's because it was Vince Young's documentary. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, I highly doubt it was edited to make Jeff Fisher look good. You know why? Because Vince Young don't like Jeff Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm getting at, right? Like, it's all through the lens of the subject that we're actually trying to tell a story about, which is not, I'm not Captain Jerno God, but like, it's not really really journalism. That's more of like a pub piece on the person that you're doing the story on. But I'm here for loving up on Nick Saban. That'll be cool.
Yeah. Intrigued by it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Definitely will watch it.
I wish we got this 2 months ago, though.
Yeah.
Give me something to watch during the
When is the release date?
It's mid-season. Like, I think
Interesting.
It's...
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Yeah, like, I've got too much to watch already. I don't need... I'm not going to be grinding six episodes of a Nick Saban doc, unfortunately.
Are you watching that Lane Kiffin commercial?
I did see the Lane Kiffin commercial, and it made me realize something. And I've kind of had this take about Lane Kiffin, just the way he's acted beforehand, but this kind of cements it. So for those who don't know, I haven't seen the DoorDash one. I have seen the Dr. Pepper one. Lane Kiffin is in the next Fansville commercial, and apparently he gets pulled over by the Boz, the sheriff, and he says, you know, that's an illegal lane change, and it's all a play
on... Well, the drag on Lane as if we didn't know that was his name.
Right.
Right.
Interesting.
I mean, it's all done to kind of paint the picture of like, oh, Lane Kiffin is poking fun of what he did to Ole Miss, and it perfectly encapsulates who I think he is as a coach, and frankly, as a person. He is someone who understands that he's not well-liked and embraces that. I think Lane Kiffin is the perfect heel for college football because he is so easy to dislike, and he has made so many decisions that, frankly, would be very frowned upon by the majority of fan bases. It's why basically every stop he's had where he leaves, he's not very liked or not very spoken highly of by that fan base.
Well, no, that's just because he's the villain now, but eventually he'll be the hero, like he told Pat McAfee. All villains become heroes, according to Lane Kiffin, just like the wrestler. My man that he loves so much that he talked about at SEC Media Day, Hulk Hogan, just like him. It's heel, it's hero, it's heel, it's hero.
Yeah.
You're the heel first and then you're a hero, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
Everybody just way ahead of your time.
Everyone's a hero in their own story too. Yeah. So he embraces the role that has been given to him and fully recognizes that. And it does, to a certain degree, I do enjoy watching it because it is someone who knows that whatever they do and say can get a rise out of people. And he uses that masterfully. I don't support a lot of his actions, but...
All I know is that the older Dr. Pepper commercials were way better than the Fansville ones.
Big fan of the DJ Uiagalelei Dr. Pepper commercial?
No, that's not the one I'm getting at.
Which one are you getting at?
Oh, the guy with the cart?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was good.
The guy who invented the college football playoff. I can't remember his name right now. I dressed up as him for Halloween one time.
It wasn't Gary, was it?
I thought you were talking about Lil Sweet.
Those were also pretty good.
Lil Sweet commercials were funny.
Which, by the way, there's a...
Larry Culpepper.
Larry.
The Larry Culpepper commercials were way better than the Fansville commercials.
Which, by the way, there's a Fansville curse that's going on. It hit DJ Uiagalelei, it hit Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Quinn Ewers. Who was it last year?
I couldn't even...
It was some. There was someone
that's
else.
How forgettable they are.
There was someone else last year who had a rough go of things. So maybe the Fansville curse hits the LSU Tigers and Lane Kiffin.
Hmm.
It was Jerry Jones last year and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
it's playoffs.
Pretty rough.
They were in Fansville?
Jerry Jones, I remember this. It was like they went to like the wrong town because it was like an Arkansas play or whatever. But yeah, no, Jerry Jones was in a Fansville commercial last year.
Y'all want to actually talk some football now?
I would love to.
Just, you guys are on the same page lately. I like that. Some team unity over there. Teams with the most to lose or gain in week zero. I think it's UNC on both accounts was what I wrote down. It seems like they probably won't win a ton this year.
Yeah.
But if we get that ball rolling downhill early, it's going to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they notch a win on the belt, maybe he survives. It's also we're going to get this a little bit later in final thoughts. Loser of this game tanks. Loser of this game has tanked the last 2 years. It was Florida State in 2024,
yeah.
And last year it was K-State in 2025. Loser of this football game normally has a rough go for sure.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. But, I mean, and I feel like UNC is going to be a team that you could put on this list every week of, like, they've got a lot to gain from this game, and they've got a hell of a lot to lose, in particular this one, because it's going to probably be the only time this season when they're watched on a national stage for a majority of this will be the most watched UNC game of all seasons.
You know, compared to the other two games you just mentioned, though, I felt like the winner of that football game was going to be set up for a lot more success than the two teams that are playing in it this weekend. Like, if TCU wins, it's cool. You beat UNC.
Mm-hmm.
If UNC wins, it's all right. Well, you beat TCU, but we still have a whole schedule remaining after this to really determine whether or not this is heading in the right direction for the Tar Heels. Whereas, like, Kansas State, for some, felt like it was maybe a playoff contender in the Big 12. Florida State was ranked 14th in the country, I want to say, when they played Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was kind of steering the ship in the in a better direction at the time. So this game is just kind of like, I don't know, the implications if you win or lose, it's just kind of like things will remain the same.
Yeah, that is fair. I mean, losing this game has been a kiss of death to a certain degree. Like, losing to an unranked Georgia Tech to start the season was about as bad as it could have gotten for Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
It started a rough go of things for them.
I feel like Florida State has to work themselves into a lather this weekend,
yes,
without showing too much, because SMU comes to town on Monday night next week. So, like, you don't really get to walk into your conference slate. It happens week two for you, mm-hmm, week one for them. So, like, can you get your continuity built without actually showing? Look, I think this offense is going to look totally different than it did a year ago.
For sure.
Gus Malzahn gone, Tim Harris in as the offensive coordinator. Now, those two have been kind of attached at the hip, Tim Harris and Gus Malzahn, for a while. But the quarterback skill sets differentiate and would alleviate that we are going to change quite a bit offensively. Mm-hmm. And how much can we get our concepts well ran without putting too much on tape for SMU while also getting continuity built? There's a lot to get at,
yeah,
right there.
And it's not just that. I kind of hinted at this yesterday. Like, the buy-in of your fan base will largely be affected by what happens on Saturday night, because if Florida State comes out and kills New Mexico State, yeah, there's obviously going to be a lot of people that have already checked out on this season, and you're not getting them to buy back in. But if you come out and you kind of struggle and it's not a great performance, you've already lost the momentum. You've already lost the crowd. You've already lost the fan base. So how they perform, and not even from a continuity and creating, you know, a lather standpoint, just how they perform in general is going to set the tone for this season.
Well, not to do this to Florida State either, but this is also a game in which a lot of people are going to be watching them. A lot of people are going to be paying attention to them. Not sure how much we'll be able to say that for the rest of the season for them. But, I mean, this is going to somewhat steer the narrative for them heading into this season. I understand who the opponent is. I understand it's not a Power Four opponent, and it's not one of the biggest games for them on the schedule. But as far as what people think of Florida State for the rest of the year, or at least their early thoughts on them, this mm-hmm. this game is going to steer that narrative for them.
Completely agree. And for that, I kind of feel the same way about UNC or USC. I feel like if people are going to buy into, okay, the Lincoln Riley hype is real, the year five, we're finally going to be a playoff team, you kind of have to do what you've done to these lesser-than opponents. San Jose State, they need to beat them by 40 to 50 points for people to go, you man, know, that offense looks scary.
Did you guys see the stat on these games for Lincoln Riley and USC?
What is it?
He's winning by 65 points per game.
He's averaging 57 points per game against non-P5.
They destroy non-P5 teams. They have no respect for the other guy on the other sideline.
Oh, no.
They are here to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Got to get the wins when you can. Got to tilt them points per game total so we can use it on the recruiting trail, you know? Here's my takeaway about that football game. I can already see it right now. Ready? Here it comes. Joel Klatt is going to tweet at about 8 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday night. USC's got a defense. Gary Patterson's got these boys rallying to the football and tackling. This is a new era of USC football. You can book it right now. I can guarantee you, if it ain't Joel Klatt, it'll be somebody in the Big Ten circles talking about, this was all Lincoln Riley needed. Look out, Big Ten. They actually have defensive pulse. They can actually tackle the football. Gone are the days of Alex Grinch. Gone are the days of piss poor defense on the USC side of things. This is Gary Patterson era of USC Trojans football. They got a defense, coach, but it's San Jose State. I don't care. Look at this defense. I can already see it right now.
I genuinely feel like there have been 7 or 8 seasons in my life where, insert Lincoln Riley team, they finally got a defense.
This finally figured it out.
The year they put it all together, and it's never happened.
Now, their defense last year wasn't all that bad.
No, it wasn't.
For Lincoln Riley standards, for USC's previous standards defensively, I mean, they ranked 51st in the country last year for points per game allowed, but it was 23 points. It's not horrible. It's not ideal. Certainly not in the range of what it typically requires for you to win a national title, but I would consider that a pretty significant step up for them considering what they've had in the past.
Any other wins and losses?
Oh, yeah, I've got a few others.
Come on, feed me.
UNLV and Memphis, for obvious reasons. Like, this is the one game this weekend where there are playoff implications. You need this win. It's going to be a nationally watched game. And let's be honest, there's probably going to be a lot more committee members and a lot more people that make decisions that will tune into this game as opposed to what UNLV or Memphis are doing in week five or six. So getting a good first impression, getting a good win under your belt is going to be imperative for both of these teams. And just on the other side, that losing is going to put you in a really, really difficult position to make the college football playoff, even though there is going to be one G5 team.
Yeah, you know, with the expanded playoff, a lot of people talk about how it doesn't require a borderline perfect season or a perfect season for you to make the playoff. It certainly does for G6 teams. Like, you got to be borderline undefeated, borderline perfect. I know you're kind of shaking your head because of last year.
No, I'm shaking my head because of the American Conference. UNLV's got to go undefeated. But I don't think the American Conference champion has to be undefeated to be a top 25 team at the end of the year.
I don't think they have to be undefeated, but I mean, it requires them to be borderline perfect. Like, you got to win almost all of your conference games and you lose your Power 4 opponent game.
Tulane was flat out embarrassed in the month of November last year by a conference opponent and made the playoff. So I just don't necessarily subscribe to this
theory. Well, we're also not going to be getting two of those opponents in the playoff anymore.
Assuming that the ACC doesn't wet down their leg, yes.
You better not.
I mean, last year was a very unique circumstance, mm-hmm. but the rules allow for unique circumstances, and that's the problem. All of this highest rated non-power four champion has to be bullcrap. No, they don't. But agreed. That's a whole argument for another day. I think we all agree on that, except for the Tulane watcher listening to me today.
They probably agree on it too, honestly.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few college football fans that think that they earn a right. No. Like, they should be given an opportunity in the college football playoff.
No.
And yeah, I know that we all disagree with that, but there's people that believe that they deserve a right to be in the playoff no matter what.
No matter what. Anywho, we're getting bogged down with that. The last one I have is NC State. I feel like not as much from a lot to lose standpoint. If CJ Bailey and this team goes out and beats what we all agree is probably going to be a formidable ACC opponent, that does a lot for your PR. And I feel like that's kind of the basis of all this. It's a very select slate. It's a very miniaturized slate in comparison to what it will be for the rest of the next 13 weeks. So the idea of you being able to take advantage of being on a national stage at a time when everyone's going to be just salivating to watch any form of college football, NC State has a lot to gain from this weekend.
Mm. I'm good for that segment. Y'all mm-hmm. good for that segment?
I am.
Let's give a shout out to our friends over at Hard Rock Bet right quick. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Hard Rock Bet Sportsbook. Whether it's rivalries, trash talk, bragging rights, it's all a part of this game of college football that we all love so much. But there's one thing college football fans can all agree on. Hard Rock Bet is easy, safe, and trusted with thousands of five-star reviews. You can back your favorite football team all season long, whether it be from the couch, hanging out at the tailgate, or even inside the stadium, especially for our friends down there in the state of Florida. Hard Rock Bet knows college football in Florida. They're Florida's only legal app to bet on college football, but you don't have to be in the state of Florida to join the party that Hard Rock Bet's got going on. They're also live in Arizona, Ohio, New Jersey, Indiana, Tennessee, Virginia, Illinois, Colorado, and Michigan, with more states on the way. And right now, listen up, right now, all customers, new and existing, can place a $5 bet to get $100 in bonus bets. That's right, $5 gets you $100 in bonus bets. So if you don't have the Hard Rock Bet app today, what are you doing? Head over to hardrock.bet/filmguy. That's hardrock.bet/filmguy. Get the party started on Hard Rock Bet today. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today. Please gamble responsibly. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, you boys ready to preemptively fire some head football coaches?
Let's do it.
Hey, get your pocketbooks ready. We got buyouts to address. I've got a top five. How did y'all do this?
I just went through a list and just figured we'd talk about each one. And
I accidentally made a top five.
Not a boy.
Just happened to end up with five.
Jonathan, you want a 5-1 or 1-5?
5-1.
And Kirby, you're here for layups that we missed.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Number five, Rutgers' finest, Greg Schiano.
Yeah, this sounds
funny. Yeah,
he's the almost Tennessee head coach.
The almost Tennessee head coach. Say no to Schiano Sunday. Got that one ruined.
The fan base was right, you know, for once.
Jonathan, they painted a rock.
I know, and they were right to do it, apparently. They?
I feel like Schiano would have been fired at Tennessee just as fast as Jeremy Pruitt without the recruiting restrictions.
It's fair.
Yeah, and I also...
like, they were right preemptively 5 years down the road But both those football coaches would have been absolutely canned. I don't know if Shiano would have been giving out bags through the McDonald's.
Yeah, I guess there's a good chance you still end up with Josh Heupel.
I would say there was a point in time where the Shiano hire was like, hey, Rutgers are kind of on the up. Now, obviously, it has nosedived since then, and it hasn't worked out. But, I mean, we're talking about a damn near 7 or 8 year run with Rutgers. That's impressive.
Yeah, lasting that long there. I mean, that's impressive in its own right.
So,
yeah.
Number four, known air raid specialist Luke Fickell.
Oh,
big time hot seat.
Yeah.
Now, but they are actually trying this year. So says the AD. We're actually going to give him some money. We're actually going to let him go attempt to be decent.
Like, is that one of the worst coaching job decisions you've had in a while
that I've observed, where we went from being a pro style football coach at Cincinnati with Desmond Ritter, and we were a solid run game defense based football team, and then we take the Wisconsin job and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna try to out recruit wide receivers in the Big Ten versus Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, and everybody that recruits better than me. Oh, add USC into the mix too, because they're coming over to the conference. Yeah, that's by far the that's the antithesis of what we have on the board over there, which your identity needs to match an attainable talent.
It was just
pool.
Such a poor career choice as well. Like,
well, I wouldn't go that far.
Hindsight,
I wouldn't
obviously,
go that far.
But like,
certainly an upgraded job. Like,
yeah, I mean, and he is going to get about $50 million out of it. So yeah. it's not the end
life
of the world
choice,
for Luke Fickell. Like,
I'm not.
He's not going to be shaking a tin cup on the corner of the street anytime soon. He's all right.
Comments like that, though, from the athletic director when we're, what is this, year four for Luke Fickell, year three?
Year four.
Year four for Luke Fickell.
Because we went 2 years air raid last year trying to get right, and then this year it's like, hey, if you don't do it, buddy, you're canned.
Why are we waiting this long to all of a sudden be like, oh, now we're going to try. Like, now we're going to give you everything we've got.
Year four, I'll look it up.
Well, he took the job after in 21. Because he took Cincinnati to the playoffs in 21. He took over in 22, I believe. Could be wrong.
Not the point anyways. Yeah. But like I'm saying,
This is year five.
Okay, year five for Luke Fickell. Like, why are we waiting until year five to be like, we're going to give you everything
we've got? No. This is year four. Somehow he got credited with a one win. I guess he coached the bowl game in 2022 somehow. I have no earthly idea how he did that. So I miscounted that. Yeah, this is year four for Luke Fickell.
Okay, either way.
Point still stands.
Yes.
Yeah, either
Who's
way.
Who's next on your list?
Number three, Shane Beamer.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had him number one this offseason. I've since changed some things around. Well, actually, he wasn't number one, remember? Because on the edit, it was like already fired Mike Norvell.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, which I still think is somewhat the case, despite the fact that after I released that, I got calls from people in the Florida State buildings like, hey, buddy, if we're 7-5, we're all back. I'm like, oh, okay.
Huh.
Nice. Plausible.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so could happen this year down there at Florida State. But to me, the schedule with Shane is rough. Did you see his comments today?
I did.
Yeah,
it broke
comments.
My heart because I was giving him claps during the offseason like a week ago for saying, we just laid low, didn't bring ourselves into the news cycle, and then today he makes that comment.
We showed everybody what was yearly possible in the peaks. We could reach the top at South Carolina. So you went 9-4 and lost to Illinois in a bowl game.
Yeah, like.
Excuse me? That's interesting. And also, 2 years ago. Life has changed. Your roster hasn't, but your life has changed. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. I wasn't a huge fan of the comment, but you know what? Whatever. The point still stands. Got to have a big year for Shane Beamer in South Carolina.
Number two, Mike Norvell.
Yeah.
And number one for me, we set our seat on fire when we were like, hey, got to save my job. Somebody bring me DJ Lagway. Dave Aranda.
Yeah, Dave Aranda's on my list. That's actually who my list starts with. It's Dave Aranda.
I feel like...
But he has been the Terminator.
He has.
Like, why won't you die?
Yeah. Literally what I was going to say is I feel like since I was in college at undergrad, I've been saying, yeah, this is probably Dave Aranda's last year.
Mm-hmm.
And for some miracle of God, they find some way to just do well enough to keep him on for another year. So, I mean, maybe this year is it. Maybe DJ Lagway is so poop that it finally is enough to get him extinguished. But maybe... A couple names that I have on
there.
Oh, excuse me, Joe. I'm sorry.
Easy now. I still have my candidates to give.
Go ahead.
And like I said, it started with Dave Aranda. Bill O'Brien.
Yes, also on my
Now, list. Things started out okay at Boston College for Bill O'Brien. And then last year, it was 2-10. Really bad. Major step off from the first season that we have. He's 9-16 so far. if we put together a 3-win season this year or a 4-win season, or if, God forbid, we replicate what we did last year, I think they might just go ahead and shut the door on that one. I think they could just move on and look for another head coach there. I understand the circumstance around this job. I understand it's very early on in the process, but I would also say that if it continues to be the way it was last year, I just think that you should also go ahead and close the door on this one. Barry Odom at Purdue, it was bad last year. If it's really bad again this year, which it looks like it's probably going to be another rough year for the Boilermakers, I just think that, I don't know. And I say this, like, Barry Odom is, I don't know where you go after that. I don't know what the step up from Barry Odom is for Purdue at this point. But,
well, you know, Indiana hired a Kirk Cignetti, so why can't Purdue?
Yeah, that's what people are going to say. There's just another coach walking around in the lower ranks.
There's just another goat rolling around somewhere grazing fields. There's got to be.
I won the lottery, so you should go buy a ticket every week because.
Yeah.
I
mean, there are people who say that non-sarcastically, by the way.
I know.
So I think it's pretty goofy to say stuff like that.
Oh, I do too.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
And the other name that I had on my list that you did not have, Brooks, I threw him on here. Lincoln Riley.
Yes. I'm glad we
have for the sake of, like, the seat is somewhat hot.
Mm.
Not saying that he's going to be fired at the end of this year. There's certainly a world where that happens, in my opinion. But I think it's far more likely that he is still the head coach next year after this season. But I think the seat is pretty hot for him.
Yeah, I feel like Lincoln Riley is the type of job situation where it's just been a constant slow burn. You haven't really done anything to cool the seat off. Caleb Williams' Heisman season is 4 seasons ago now, and since then you haven't done anything about that. Caleb Williams was disappointing in 23. You've been underwhelming since then, and now you've come to the microphone and said, hey, this is our championship window. We are competing for titles now in year 5. If you don't even make the playoff this year, which is a tough schedule, I think that you're going to start really cranking up the heat on your seat. Two names that I had that were not on this list, and I don't even know if this is a hot seat situation or is just a, hey, we're going to ask you to leave behind closed doors and you're going to have an unceremonious end to your career, Bill Belichick. The drama that he's brought to that program is directly congruent with the lack of wins that he has brought. It's been nothing but a disaster, and honestly, kind of sad because he's completely tanked his legacy.
Did anybody mention Bill O'Brien?
Yes, Jay Will had a 2 or 3 minute discussion about Bill O'Brien. Maryland's Mike Locksley is also one I think could be on this list.
Yeah.
It hasn't been disastrous, and there's some reason to be optimistic, but at the same point, has not been great. So he's another name that I have on there, but I think that's everyone. I don't think we missed
Chat's talking Matt Rule.
I can talk Matt Rule later.
Ooh.
Tease.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So save the Matt Rule takes.
Okay.
I like this.
I have a different list.
All right.
Head coaches that might level up. These are not offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. These are head coaches that if they have a 9 or 10 win season at their current school, they might be in line to fill one of these bigger roles. 1 to 5, 5 to 1, Jonathan.
1 to 5.
Ooh. I'll give it to you 5 to 1. Number 5, big friend of the show, best friend of the show. Surprised he's not on the board. Dan Mullen, UNLV. Someone's going to do it again. I have not met, and I think it's because he worked for ESPN. There is not anybody that is more nationally loved by media types than Dan Mullen because he's so friendly to those guys.
Makes sense.
But yeah, somebody's going to be like, oh my God, he won 9 wins. He had 9 wins in the Mountain West. Dude, we got to hire this guy again.
He got
Mississippi State inside the top 5 that one time. We got to do this. Remember that year with Kyle Trask? Don't worry about how it ended. Remember that year? Like, we got to do this.
Not to burn another man while doing this, but is there a world where Mississippi State circles back?
I was going to say, I don't think
I... Some people said they should have done it last year or a couple years ago. Should have just taken him right out of Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Dan Mullen is a, hey, our national powerhouse program needs to be brought back to relevance type coach, but he could absolutely be, hey, our, you know, middling, lower tier program needs to be made relevant again.
You want the Kansas job, Dan?
I mean,
would that get you off the spoon? Would hiring Dan Mullen?
You think I'm on the spoon now? Let them hire Dan Mullen. Ooh, buddy.
Yikes. Number 4, real friend of the show, Willie Fritz.
Ooh, yeah.
Houston Cougars. Now, I don't know if we're, all due respect, I don't know if we're too old to take like one of these jobs, but then why not just take a $60 million paid contract and call it, like, we're either going to have ultimate success or this will be it, and we'll ride off into the sunset. Yeah.
Don't you think,
million.
Though, that he's kind of in a great situation?
He is, like, especially with Keyshawn Henderson.
Yeah, it's a great situation because you have some future on your roster right now. Like, they're good now, but it looks like you're going to be good moving forward as well.
Yeah.
But also, you're at a program who has the ability to be at the top of your conference, to be one of the best teams in your conference, to make a college football playoff. Like, an upgrade for him, I don't know what that would look like at a new conference or anything like that, but I feel like he's in a pretty sound situation.
Number three, Kennesaw State's Jerry Mack.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, this dude's ball coach. I've never seen a football program go from triple option loser to immediate conference champion, like 10, 11, 12 wins in one offseason. I've never seen that happen, even in the transfer portal era. Like, I've always thought, because I went through this transition in college, like, it's really hard. You got to flip the entire roster over. Mm-hmm. And flipping the entire roster over is doable nowadays, far more doable than it was 5 years ago. But it doesn't mean you're going to do it right. Doesn't mean you're going to do it at this high of a rate. If he has another one of these years, he will be a Power 4 head football coach. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Now, these next two guys on my list have talked about, like, loving where they're at. Number two, PJ Fleck at Minnesota. If they figure out a run game and he wins 9 games, magically 10 games, I don't think that's possible. But if he wins 9 games, I think somebody's going to look at PJ Fleck and be like, why not? The dude was a constant, at least a consistent game winner at Minnesota. He's never – what was that stat I read the other day? Never gone worse than 7-5?
Yeah,
I think he's been there at Minnesota outside
first,
of year one.
Since his first season, yeah.
Like, that's really respectable. Like, I know we make jokes about the magic elixir and the cult of a program that he seems to run. It's culture, not cult. The culture of a program that he seems to run. But the guy wins football games.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'm kind of hesitant on PJ Fleck is, like, what job is there right now that one, PJ Fleck would take, and two, would offer PJ Fleck? Like, let's say magically we get to the end of 26 season and, like, USC's had a bad go or things, or Kalen DeBoer is, you know, wet the bed completely. I don't think those tier of jobs are going to want a guy like PJ Fleck. Go ahead.
Kalen DeBoer is not getting fired.
I'm saying,
I think he could even go 6-6 and they're not eating that buyout.
I'm saying the tier of that job.
I get what you're saying.
So yeah. Either way, a tier like that where it's one of these top tier programs, because that's the next step for him. Chronologically, like, I don't know if there's a
South Carolina.
Here's a question.
Maybe, but, like, isn't South Carolina just the Minnesota equivalent?
This time last year, would you have said Penn State would hire Matt Campbell?
Great question.
No, I would not have.
I'm not saying that they're equivalent, but
no, and I think
there's some similarities there.
But I also think that when Penn State fired James Franklin, I don't think they were planning on hiring Matt Campbell.
But who's
I think there's a lot of nuance.
Doesn't happen again.
It could happen.
There's a lot of people that think they've given the takes that Texas is this year's Clemson or that Texas is this year's Penn State. If that's the case and that billionaire booster base gets a little too ticked off, Kenny Dillingham is the next Texas Longhorns head football coach.
That could be a case. I could see this one happen.
Have you gone through their roster the last several years?
There's a lot of Texas Arizona guys State? On there.
Oh my God, they recruit Texas like nobody's business. So he's got ties there. Now, I know he's talked about how he loves his family being out there in Tempe and all that great stuff, and it's tremendous lip service. He also follows those up by begging somebody in the county to pay for his roster. You don't have to do that at Texas Big Dog. You will never have to do that at Texas Big Dog. So you will take that job if that job is offered to you. Would PJ Fleck take the North Carolina job?
Maybe.
Just fresh start me.
Maybe.
I'm tired of being 7-5 in the Big Ten. I can at least be 9-3 in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it, but that would seem like a lateral move for a guy that's kind of built a legacy and become one of the most revered coaches in that program.
Talk about a vibe change down there at Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Those are my level up, coaches. Sorry, dude. I'm absolutely locked into West Georgia Chattanooga over here. I knew this was going to happen to us on a Thursday show because we are a place of sickos. I knew our numbers were going to be relatively low tonight because we got a bunch of sickos.
That's right.
Sickos that are tuned in right now to Youngstown State.
Hey, I'm with it. Watch your football
games. Watch your football.
We'll take it all in.
We'll see you on Friday morning when you're at work.
We'll see you on the rewatch.
Just get us on the rewatch. It's all good. Then you can fast forward through our intro that you all claim to hate. It's so funny. It's like 50-50 on the music. It's like some people, their kids like to dance to it before they go to bed. And then the other people are like, I don't watch the lives because I have to sit through the live intro. It's like, well, buddy, you can always pause it, wait 45 seconds, and then tap your phone six times.
Just join at 8:01.
Or look at you, an innovator.
Yeah, just join at 8:01. There you go. There's your solution.
Top five players I'm watching in week zero. A lot of rankings tonight. A lot of top five rankings. Mm. You ready?
Yep. Let's hear it.
Who wants to go first? You want me to go first?
Sure. Why?
Go ahead. Seem like you're throwing yourself out there.
I got a couple OLIs.
Oh, well, then maybe we should go first.
Jaden Thomas.
All right.
Running back at UNLV. Twitched up. Fun to watch. Westlake's finest. Yeah. Jaden Thomas, about 5'8", about 185 pounds, soaking wet, and a buddy can go. Interested to watch him on Saturday night. Usmani Cromah.
Yes.
Florida State's running back. A little theme here. Georgia, one of Georgia's finest. Lee County's finest right there. Usmani Cromah. Number five, Jonathan's favorite player this offseason, Deuce Robinson. Excited to see Deuce Robinson go for a good $120. What?
Hey, I'm cool with you acknowledging my infatuation with Deuce Robinson, but the king of the offseason for me is the king of the offseason for me is Nick Minicucci.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You silly on the Minicucci.
He's not playing on Saturday, is he?
He's not.
I don't think so.
Sorry, J-Will. You have to wait another week.
Number three. This guy should be on your all names team.
Oh, yeah?
Tanuke Hines.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Watching like that bucked up Alamo Bowl or whatever the hell we were watching the other day between USC and TCU. Buddy was getting loose. Tanuke Hines in your back end. All right. Tanuke Hines going to have a day on Saturday. Number two, Ashton Daniels.
Valid.
Just give me all the Ashton Daniels hype you can get. I'll take all the stocks since everybody else thinks he sucks. It's mine. When Ashton Daniels throws for 300 yards in the first two quarters of Saturday's game, just remember that's on me. Number one, Mark Bowman.
Mm. Yeah, he's on my list.
I am stoked to watch Mark Bowman play college football. I think this guy is going to be elite.
Yeah, you've had some pretty stern takes about Mark Bowman.
You know, I'll take 92% of Brock Bowers.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's really,
close
really
to
good.
Anyone else's guy.
Now, he's not like as football obsessed as Brock Bowers because, I mean, how can you be? I mean, he does like day in the life with me in high school stuff, like bring a videographer with me.
That's not very
Brock Bowers shuns that. Mm-hmm. Brock Bowers looks at that and was like, what are you doing? Mm. We're about football. But he very much looks akin to him. They almost look like brothers.
We'll see if that actually ends up being the case on the football field this season.
I'm not excited about watching another Brock Bowers in college.
No, not at all. Number five on my list, Jamon Tapp, defensive lineman for Memphis. He had 12 TFLs and 7.5 sacks last year at Southern Miss. Damn. I'm all here for a defensive lineman just wreaking
havoc. I was about
to,
when you were reading that stat line, I was about to go, well, how did he get stolen out of the port? He did, just by Memphis.
Yeah, there's quite a few Southern Miss football players
that
at
FedEx
Memphis.
Money hits, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number four on my list, JoJo Trader, NC State. Got a start at Miami. Things just really never showed itself on the field for him. Didn't get too many opportunities. Getting a fresh start at NC State. Was a former four-star recruit. Maybe things will click with CJ Bailey and him. Maybe he can get his career off the ground.
Did he wear one at Miami?
Maybe.
Before Malachi Toney got there?
Maybe so.
I think he did. And I think he had some decent, freshman year stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, sorry to sidetrack.
No, you're good.
I'm just trying to put a visual on JoJo Trader. Because he goes by Josiah and JoJo.
I think so,
right?
Yeah. Maybe we can get it off the tarmac at NC State. Mm. Number three, Jeremy Payne, the TCU running back. You talked about him earlier in the week, Brooks. This was a guy that had over 600 rushing yards last year for TCU as a non-starting running back. Now he is in the starting role for TCU. Might put up bigger numbers this year. Number two, I went with a different USC player. I went with Booby Feaster.
Mm. Mm. Think we're going to see a lot of Booby on Saturday?
All time.
I don't know. I don't think he's projected as a starter. I think he's projected as like a backup guy, but we're going to see just about everybody on that roster, I would imagine. So we're going to get some type of look at Booby Feaster, I would imagine. And then number one, Kevin Wynn, the defensive lineman at Florida State. This was a guy that Florida State went into some heavy battles with on the recruiting trail to get him to Florida State, Georgia being one of those schools. Didn't really get a whole lot of playing time as a true freshman entering year two. I believe he's projected to be a starter on that defensive front. Can we see some of those flashes that we saw from a high school athlete? Can we become the anchor in that defensive front? interested to see how that plays out for him this year and on Saturday.
So Mark Bowman was on my list. That's already been taken, obviously. But I am also excited to see what he can do in his first ever game as a college football player. He was kind of, like you said, presented as this, he is the next Brock Bowers. He will be able to do things that Brock Bowers did. He was almost a Georgia commit. I know that that's kind of a sore spot for Georgia fans, but I'm excited to see what he can do in that Lincoln Riley offense. The next player that I am excited to see, and it's kind of a two-parter because it's the dynamic of them, I want to see what Alex Orji and Jackson Arnold look like. I want to see how Dan Mullen uses them. I want to see if they've changed as players at all, and if Dan Mullen can utilize their efficiencies and kind of hide their deficiencies, because Lord knows they both have a lot of them. Number three, I'm going with Hunter Tipton, the Memphis tight end. Had a big breakout season last year, caught 411 yards, 2 touchdowns. People are expecting him to kind of go off in 2026. And then my next one is wide receiver NC State, Keenan Jackson. Didn't have a ton of production last year, but was kind of billed as the guy that's going to be the main target for David Bailey, or CJ Bailey. For CJ Bailey at NC State. I'll be interested to see if he can do anything against Virginia. Number one, Mike Alahada. This guy
had to.
This guy put the team literally on his back last year and willed Hawaii to what I think is the best game of week zero in 2025. If he can create anything similar to that performance this year on the road against Stanford, man, we are in for a
treat. I'm here for it.
Question. If you are held back in eighth grade and then reclass your senior year, are you a reclassed football player? Are you in the right class?
I think it's just held back.
This is the case with Mark Bowman. Mark Bowman was supposed to be in this class originally, but then was held back in eighth grade and then played 3 years of high school at Matter Day and then reclassed himself back into his regular class.
Oh, so that's not a reclass then?
No, he's an 18. He'll turn 19 his freshman year, whereas like Booby Feaster will turn 18 his freshman year because he's a true reclassed kid.
Right.
I wanted to catch somebody who doesn't know Mark Bowman's stats on Saturday, like real background, because somebody will mention that he is a reclassed kid, shouldn't even be in college.
Yeah.
This kid should still be playing at Matter Day.
Like, not quite.
Come on. He's 19 years old. it's all good. I've never been a fan of the let's hold him back in eighth grade. He might be a legend in sports.
Yeah, like ultimately that 1 year difference isn't going to make all that much of a difference.
It does for quarterbacks. Every quarterback you ever pay attention to that you're watching nowadays, that kid went through eighth grade twice. Almost all of them. It's like 75% of top rated quarterbacks are 19 when they come to college. I wouldn't even say a new trend. This started when I was in high school. I had a buddy of mine that repeated eighth grade, and boy, did we absolutely lambaste him. We made fun of him constantly.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. So
that's what people do to their
friends. Not really a new thing. But yeah, some good football players playing this weekend and some good football games coming back to our televisions this weekend. All right, y'all ready for bold predictions?
Let's hit it. Oh, yeah, I've been waiting for it.
100 push-ups on the line.
Okay.
And I think this is really just going to become the opposite of a popularity contest from the chat. I'm pretty sure they'll just assign 100 push-ups to whoever they dislike the most.
For sure. It's fine.
Did you look at someone when you said that?
No, I looked at you.
Oh, me? Okay.
The camera. I looked at myself.
I'm sure the chat.
I'm very unlikable.
I'm sure the chat will bestow the 100 push-ups on me. It's fine. Does not bother
we'll
me.
See.
You never know. 2026 bold take number one. You ready?
Let's hear it.
Jaden Maiva, USC quarterback, leads all of college football in passing yards this year.
Okay, I could see that.
Had 3,700 yards last year, and I think they are going to be down in quite a few football games this year.
So last year, Drew Messemaker led the country in passing yards with 4,500.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
So that'd be a pretty significant increase in his production this year. The weapons are better, so that certainly helps him. The offense and Lincoln Riley usually put up numbers, so I could see it happening. That's a pretty bold take, though, to considering the amount of production that he'd have to increase in order to do that.
Is this in all of college football or the Power Four? Because there's always some
power
dude four. In the G5 that just likes it.
Yeah, no, Power Four.
Okay.
Okay.
I respect it.
That's fairly bold. I like it.
My first one. Texas Tech just completely misses the college football playoff this year.
I
spiced mine up a little bit better.
Okay. I'm excited to hear your type of spin on this one. But between our continued conversations about the Big 12 this offseason has kind of made me teeter off them a little bit, especially when we threw in the Brendan Sorsby wrinkle where he's not playing for them anymore this year. And then watching Bear Bachmeyer tape today, kind of refreshing my mind on BYU. I know that the gap was pretty far between the two teams last year. They played twice. Texas Tech handled them both times. I don't think Texas Tech is going to be as good of a football team as they were last year defensively and offensively. I think it might just be a year where BYU wins the conference, they're representing the Big 12 in the college football playoff, and Texas Tech might even end up being the third best team in the conference.
All right, my turn. Last year, the Texas Longhorns opened the season as the number one ranked team in college football. They promptly lost to Ohio State, who spent the remainder of the regular season and all the way up until conference championships as the number one team. We only had two teams ranked number one last year. That's not happening this year. My bold prediction is that there will be a grand total of five total teams ranked number one come the end of the 2026 season.
Mm. Okay.
I'll piggyback. I probably should have piggybacked immediately, but I was writing a poll to get the audience's answers. Houston wins the Big 12 over BYU. Ooh. Texas Tech's not even in the conference championship
game. Oh. All right. I like this.
Wow, not even in the conference championship. Nope. So they lose two or three games then.
Yep.
I like it.
With the 77th worst schedule in the sport.
Crazy.
That's gross.
Yeah, that's really the only thing that kind of keeps me holding on that Texas Tech will ultimately be in the playoff is the schedule. Speaking of schedules, Matt Campbell has a better season than Kyle Whittingham does in their first years at their new programs.
One more time.
Matt Campbell has a better season than Kyle Whittingham does.
That's
schedule.
It's okay, but I mean, Michigan is being thrown around as a team that could be in the college football playoff.
Well, because of their brand. I'm piggybacking. Piggybacking. A 9-3 SEC team will get into the playoff over a 10-2 Penn State football team.
Good. That's I think that's
social media will be on fire.
Yeah.
That will be
on fire.
Yeah.
And God forbid if that SEC team loses its first
game. God forbid it's Texas, and then we'll all get labeled. Well, they're only doing that because of Arch and ESPN.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. I hope it's not. All right. This year, we will have a new champion in all four Power Four conferences. Not exactly my boldest take, but one that I was thinking, can't remember the last time it's happened where all of the four Power Four conferences have had a new champion. I think this year we get one.
You got another one?
Of course I have another one. I told you I was going to circle back on Matt Rhule. Here's where I do it. Shane Beamer and Matt Rhule both make bowl games this year, but both of them are fired at the end of the season.
One more time.
Shane Beamer and Matt Rhule both make bowl games this year, but both of them are also fired at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, you can 5-7 your way to a bowl nowadays.
Yeah, so. I don't really classify that as really – that's not legitimate bowl eligibility in my opinion. I'm talking about like both of them go 6-6 or 7-5. Both of them are still fired at the end of the year.
Did that poll come out right?
It's popping up on my YouTube chat.
Okay. Does it look the right way?
Yeah, it looks fine.
Okay.
Does 7-5 get Shane Beamer fired?
Depends on how it looks, probably. That's the bigger question.
Clemson, yeah.
Interesting. That means they're 7-4. Yeah, well, I could see it. All right. This one, I don't know if you can necessarily quantify it or say that it's something you can measure, but I feel like the last 3 to 4, even 5 seasons, the Heisman winner has been kind of just the, yeah, that makes sense. He deserves the award. He gets it. We haven't had these just generational great seasons where in 2019 we had Joe Burrow. In 2020 we had Devontae Smith amidst a COVID season. Like, generationally great. I'm predicting this year's Heisman winner, whoever it is, gives us one of the best seasons in college football history. One that we put up with 2010 Cam Newton, 2019 Joe Burrow, all the legends. That's my bold prediction for 2026.
Mm. All right. That's pretty bold.
Here's one. There are two Big Ten teams that are undefeated this season, Indiana and Oregon, with zero undefeated teams from any other Power Four conference.
Okay. I could see that happening.
Little caveat Notre Dame there.
Yeah. Have to. My final bold prediction. Dante Moore becomes the number one quarterback in the NFL draft because Julian Sain and Arch Manning both return to college next season.
Oh.
Hmm.
That's pretty bold.
If I'm running into Steve Sarkisian on the recruiting trail for a quarterback moving forward, don't you think that would be the biggest? He couldn't even get Arch Manning to leave in with 2 years of starting. Don't you think that would be one of the biggest anti-recruiting sentiments that you would give?
Yeah.
Also, if you're the Manning family, why would you send him back to college? What would he have around him? I know it's Texas. I know they'll be able to spend $35 million in the portal, and they'll go get another team around him. But they lose, like, four offensive linemen. They lose three or four wide receivers, both tailbacks. Like, why go back to school?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just take the 20th overall selection? You are not getting out of the first round.
Yeah.
You're not.
Unless
so,
you have a disastrous season.
I think that would be just as big of a stain on Steve Sarkisian's resume as it would be good news for the 2027 outcome for Texas.
I mean, there's already kind of a stain on his quarterback development as a whole when it comes to the NFL.
Agreed.
I mean, Mac Jones didn't really pan out in the NFL despite his success in college. Quinn Ewers is a backup right now at the NFL. Arch Manning is tracking in the right direction for them at this moment. But if that one also doesn't pan out the way that they think it will, I mean, there kind of already is an existing stain on it. If Arch Manning kind of confirms that one, then it's absolutely something you could counter-recruit on.
All right, my final bold prediction for the 2026 season.
Looks like I'm doing push-ups, by the way.
Oh, really?
Which is fine.
Interesting.
I'm supposed to do chest tomorrow, but it's okay. I'll go in. It won't be that sore. It's 100 push-ups. It's cake. Go ahead.
My final bold prediction for the 2026 college football season. The Group of Five representative, whoever it may be, will win a college football playoff game this year.
Oh, boy. Do you believe that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, that's you just really didn't want to do push-ups. It was let me think of the really bold.
It's the bold prediction.
No. I'm glad you were honest, at least.
You can see it. It's on my notes.
I believe you. It's on your notes, but I'm just like, do you really think that's going to happen?
No.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, nah. Any more?
That was it for me.
All right, we do have football games being played right now and this weekend. Let's give some final thoughts on these big-time football games. UNC versus TCU. I mentioned this earlier in the show to compliment some of my takes. I'm going to hammer it home again here in final thoughts. Loser of this game historically crashes out.
Yeah.
It was Florida State in 24 after Georgia Tech beat them out there, and it was K-State last year when their quarterback's dad and brother were fighting in the parking lot, hammered off that Irish pub.
Mm-hmm. I will say it is interesting to me. I believe that this game, according to our friends over at Hard Rock Bet, this spread has moved in favor of TCU since the start of the week. I think it was at 8.5 to start, has now moved to 9.5 in favor of TCU. So things are trending in the wrong direction for UNC heading into this football game.
I mean, they must have found out that Steve Belichick wasn't making the trip.
Yeah, he's worth a whole point.
Yeah, man. You don't know about Steve, do you?
Not a whole lot. I'm not going to lie. I don't know a whole lot about Steve.
We wish him well. My final thought on this is, if Bill Belichick's time right now at UNC has been the equivalent of a massive stain on a white shirt, I think this game will be putting that shirt in the dryer immediately after, because I don't see how you can pull the ship up here. I think it's going to get ugly. I think we walk away on Saturday going, man, what happened to Bill Belichick? He drove UNC into the ground. Like, it's going to be honestly kind of sad, because for so long he was revered as one of the greatest football minds of all time. To see what has happened to his legacy in the last 3 to 4 years, it's kind of sad. So that's my final thought on that.
More damning on the legacy, Dayton, someone who's 23 years old, or crashing out at UNC like he has? She might be 25. I don't want to get sued by Jordan Hudson. So defamation.
I mean, for a football legacy, it's flaming out. Like, it looks like he's going to a UNC.
Which one's worse, this UNC crash out or Tom Brady immediately winning a Super Bowl the moment he left?
The UNC. If the Patriots sustained success, it would have been, all right, you know, Tom Brady just left, but Bill Belichick's still a great coach.
That's kind of like saying, oh, what's more damning for Eric Spoelstra, the fact that LeBron James left and won a title in Cleveland immediately after Eric Spoelstra?
Yeah, you're right. It was Cleveland, and then he won one in L.A., but it was COVID in L.A., so it didn't really count.
It's the most authentic brand of hoops we've ever gotten.
So they say.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big bubble hoops guy?
I enjoyed it. I don't see why there should be an asterisk next to it. I don't think that the fans necessarily impact basketball games as much as they do like football, in my opinion. They provide great environments, but it doesn't impact the game as much as a football game.
Final thought on NC State at Virginia. Virginia ran fall camp like it was the Junction Boys. Y'all ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're talking about a gruesome age of college football. I know it was a movie and all that. I'm going to go ahead and end that poll, boys. We know I'm doing push-ups. I'll record that and put it out somewhere. You were a close second there, Kirby. Maybe I should have let that hang out a little bit more. Not a lot of people enjoy actually involving themselves, huh? I only see 94 votes on that. That's inconclusive data. It's inconclusive data.
Well, you concluded the data yourself.
You're right. I need people to hit that thumbs up button. I won't take your vote, but I'll take your thumb up. I'll take your like on the stream.
There you go. There you go.
We do have ditties tonight. That'll be fun. I guess I'm supposed to surprise people with those.
It's okay. Just let's talk about the football game.
All right. Final thought. I mentioned the fall camp injury report is absolutely
insane
from Virginia. You had a good tweet on that. Did that bang?
It did. It's almost at 4,000 likes, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
It bang bang. Huh?
Yeah. It was like a slow burn. I woke up this morning and it had like 100, and then over the day, I don't know what happened, but it got across the right people.
Yeah.
This football, my final thought on this one is, and we kind of dove into it already, but Bo Pribula versus CJ Bailey, I'm leaning towards NC State on this one. I'm going to take the more talented quarterback. I know that NC State lost some valuable pieces on their offense from last year. They lost Peak on the offensive line. They lost Hollywood Smothers. I understand all of that, but I'm a believer in CJ Bailey, not so much a believer in Bo Pribula.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a extremely high-scoring game. One of the more exciting matchups I think we'll get. I don't know. I don't even know if I can fully say that. It's going to be an interesting matchup. It's going to be something where I think if we cut to the NFL draft in 2027 and CJ Bailey is a first-round pick, I think this game will be one of the reasons why. That's my final thought.
Final thought on Memphis at UNLV. My final thought is amen for a late-night sweater. Amen for a 2 a.m. Yes. bedtime when this one concludes 48-46. Somehow, some way, 2 missed PATs. I'm talking about some glorious, glorious high points football.
Yeah, my final thought is just please, please let this be everything that's kind of being built to be, where it's a high scoring, you know, 2016 Big 12-esque type matchup where the defense can't stop anything. It's explosive plays all around. Please, I beg you.
I mean, we've talked about the implications that this game could have for both of these football teams. Certainly, it's a massive way to traject your season in the right direction if you pick up a win. These are two of the best group of six teams that we have this upcoming season, in my opinion. Two good head coaches at that level. They're doing a good job with their programs. I talked about it early in the week, though. I think it's really just going to boil down to which one of these offenses can really get going early, because if this one does turn into a bit of a shootout, having a 10-point lead early on in the game, or God forbid a 14-point lead early on, it's going to make the difference there. So whichever one of these teams in week zero at the earliest start of the college football season can get the offense rolling quicker, that's going to be the difference.
I have no idea who is calling this game or what station is broadcasting it, but do you think there is a...
Isn't it Brian Kelly?
No. That's Brian Kelly's got North Dakota State, Jacksonville State, and he's going to be snoozing by the midway through the third quarter. We're going to catch him sleeping on television. I don't know who's got the rights to this, but do you think there's a pre-production meeting about not mentioning an orgy in the end zone?
I think that was exclusively a Robert Griffin thing.
Okay.
And honestly, who knows if we'll have one?
That's a good point. Nah, he's going to get a red zone touch.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Jonathan, smack him in the face with ditties.